Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Big Move podcast. I have another exciting episode this week, and I'm so excited to be sitting here with Zanna Roberts Rossi. She is a powerhouse of a lady. Zanna is an award-winning fashion and beauty journalist and co-founder of Milk Makeup. Her current roles include senior fashion editor at Marie Claire US, a fashion and style correspondent for E! News and The Today Show, and a mentor on Project Runway. Originally from Manchester, Zanna now lives in NYC with her husband and two girls, Rumi and Juno. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh my gosh, I'm exhausted even listening to that list. How are you? So nice to see you.
So nice to meet you.
I mean, you've done the other switch. It's so funny. I'm the Englishman and you're the American.
I know. We've completely switched places and I love that. And what I love about podcasting is like things like this come up. Your team messaged me yesterday telling me you were in town. And I'm like, yeah, I want to interview her. Absolutely.
It's a lot. Your podcast is awesome.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. And you even checked it out. Like you're such a rock star.
It's a lot of production goes into this. I don't think people realize it's not just like sitting on the end of a mic. As natural as it all sounds, you know, you have to work, you have to graph, you have to get the stories, and that's
absolutely what you do. And what brings you to London this week? Actually, just press and work.
Yes, we are launching. It's actually long lead launches. So obviously, when you're launching new products, you have short lead launches, which so you're talking to the digital press, lots of influencers, and that's the immediate release. But now we have to obviously think about getting in magazines, which is a long lead press, so you have to basically launch things 4 months before, which is funny from like my background as a beauty editor. So I would always be living 4 months in advance of everything. So you basically, July was Christmas.
Right.
Oh, look, is it Valentine's Day? No, it's still November.
Yeah, it must be crazy to have to think that far ahead. Yeah. For your business and everything.
Yeah, business-wise, oh my gosh, we're developing 2 years in advance.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's craziness.
It's good. You have to also be nimble though as well. So if new trends come out and you come across an amazing new formulation or component, then we have to drop it in quick. So you can be nimble, but you also want to have that long lead time for, you know, to make a mascara. It's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You want lots of planning.
Can't even imagine it. Okay, so we'll get into a couple quick icebreaker questions that I always like to ask my guests. So what are the first three things you do when you wake up in the morning?
I would love to say I meditated, I had a few minutes to myself, I reflected on the day, wrote a list to do. No, it's nothing like that. It's I wake up with an alarm usually, or one of my five-year-old twins pulling my hair. Mommy, let's play. So basically I wake up and I start playing. Oh, I down a pint of water. The first thing I always do, always down a pint of water.
Okay, yeah, that's such a good one.
If I don't have that, literally my brain goes south.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's obvious, but I don't think people, like literally the pint is there. My husband laughs at me because I just do one pint.
Yeah.
And then I can activate the playing with pretending to be some kind of fairy or some kind of cat. I was recently when I woke up, crawled to the bathroom. Yeah, it's not that glamorous, but it's fun.
But that's so cute too.
It's cute.
And real.
Yeah, there ain't no meditation in our breakfast mornings.
I feel you. But I'm with you on the pint of water. I do an entire glass of water and chlorophyll.
Helps though, right?
It does. Just getting everything moving and yeah, absolutely. Okay, second icebreaker question. Okay. What is your favorite alcoholic beverage?
I love a glass of champagne.
Do you? Okay.
I love a champagne. If I'm doing tequila, I have to stick to tequila all night, but 1942 tequila is gold. I mean, it's it just slips down if you haven't tried it.
Don Julio, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Expensive though.
Yes, it is. Crazy. When you go order a cocktail with that, I'm like, wait, what?
No, don't cocktail it. This does not need to be mixed. It needs to be slightly chilled and sipped like a fine wine.
Okay. I love that. I'm a tequila girl. So I'm 100% with you right there. I love that. So I want to get into your background. You've worn so many hats, but let's kind of rewind. Where are you originally from?
Manchester in England. Okay. I moved to London when I was 19.
Okay.
And then started as a beauty editor at Marie Claire.
Okay. So how long ago was that when you were?
I moved, it was 2000.
Oh my gosh, so you've been in the States a while now.
Oh, I moved from Manchester in 2000.
Okay.
So I moved to the States 12 years ago.
Okay. And then so you grew up in Manchester.
Grew up in Manchester, yeah. Went to school, college there.
Okay.
Then moved to London, started as an intern at Looks magazine, was fortunate enough to get a beauty assistant role at Marie Claire and stayed there for 6 years, then moved to New York as a fashion editor at Marie Claire. I've always been a Marie Claire girl.
Okay, I love that.
Yeah, and then I was there full-time for 5 years, and then I kind of jumped out of full-time magazine roles into freelance styling and also TV.
Okay, perfect. I feel like that's the best way to sort of make that move abroad is with a job transition.
Yeah.
So that's great. You sort of had that, and I'm sure helped to get you established as well. Curious though, when you think back to that initial move, like what was the transition like? Like tell me about that time period for you. Was that crazy coming from the UK? Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
I just want to turn the tables and ask you, because we've both been through the same thing, and it's no joke. It's a mega move. It's a massive undertaking. Firstly, like visas, that doesn't come across quick. You don't get a visa and granted access to, even though if you have a job offer. I remember that process taking months and months, and you have to have a lot of letters from fabulous people saying you're the only one in the world who could possibly do this job.
Exactly.
So I remember from like Jefferson Hack was kind enough to write me a letter. Some of the best photographers in the world were writing me letters. People in New York were writing me letters. Yeah, I mean, I really went. I had a few celebrities thrown in the mix writing me letters. People I knew, people I shot, people I was friends with. But you do have to go through that. And it's a very stressful process. That bureaucracy is very stressful. But once I got there, it was going from Marie Claire magazine, which was great. And it was I'd grown up there to this world of big, high fashion, power, Hearst Tower, the most incredible tower in New York City. I remember going up the escalator on my first day and there's fountains and waterfalls and just gorgeous people dressed head to toe designer all around me. And I was this literally went back to little girl in Manchester. I was like, what the hell am I doing here? How am I? And I remember exactly my outfit. It was a little black dress from Topshop. I had some black flats on, brown leather flats on, and a really nice, it was a Chanel bag, because I thought if I can't afford the rest of the outfit, the bag is going to do the talking.
Exactly. One designer done in there, you're good.
Done.
Yeah.
Well, and then, and I walked into an office and it was very different than in the UK. In the UK, I would do every job. So I'd be booking the photographers, mm-hmm. I'd be coming up with the concepts, I'd be writing the copy, I'd be creative directing the shoots. But here it was very segregated. So in New York, it was very separate. So there was a department who called in the clothes. There was a department who booked the photographer. There was a department who booked the model. So I think I got there and probably stood on a lot of toes because I wasn't used to that, and I'm a jack of all trades, and I want to get muck in. I'm not going to be the girl who's like, oh, get me this, darling. I'm like, get involved. Yeah. So, but I think that was taken sometimes as like, God, she's like all over the place. But it stood me well, and now you look at, the skeletal is back now for magazines. There's not 1,000 people doing a few jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. So you really, that was really the start of your career. It sounds like, was that Marie Claire for you in fashion?
Marie Claire and beauty for sure in the UK. Yeah, that was where I learned everything about the beauty world, even styling, the creative world. I learned about producing a shoot. I learned about being on a shoot. I learned about the etiquette, which is so huge. And I think people overlook that a lot of the time. But it's how to be as an assistant on set. You're seen and you're not heard. You take everything in. You take names of people. You reach out to them when it's appropriate. You just listen and learn and lap it up. And I learned so much from being a beauty editor at Marie Claire.
Absolutely. And so were you living in New York City during your initial move to New York?
Yes, I was. My now husband, I've been seeing for 2 years. So we've been flying backwards and forwards doing the nylon thing, which probably, well, you both moved from America, right?
We did. Yeah. We moved together.
So you didn't have to do those transatlantic. Actually, we really enjoyed it though. It was a lot of fun to spend, we'd meet in the best places in the world. So I'd be like, oh, let's go to Iceland. And we literally would meet in Iceland and I'd do a shoot there and he'd just fly over Iceland because it was the middle of New York and London.
Right.
Made sense. Hawaii we did, Spain we did, Rome we did. But yeah, when I moved there, it was just, I moved in with Rossi, which is always kind of a crazy thing to not have ever lived together.
Yes.
Dated for 2 years, but you like you don't have to deal with sharing the same bathroom.
Yeah.
You're on a nice, fabulous trip in Iceland.
It is an adjustment.
Right, it's a total adjustment. But luckily it was good and we moved to his apartment then in the meatpacking district.
Okay, that's great. So you kind of had him to sort of help you with your first initial move.
Yeah, and I'd spent 2 years getting to know his friends that were there. And he had a lot of British friends, thankfully.
Okay.
And I kind of was immediately drawn to them.
Okay, and are there things you miss about London life?
Oh my gosh, so much. I miss the pub, I miss my friends, I miss my family, my mum and dad who are still in Manchester, my sister who's here in London, my other sister who's actually moved to France, but my mates, my pub, that self-deprecation, the culture, I'm here now. It's very civilized. It feels very civilized in comparison to New York.
Yeah, I know.
I
completely get
right?
that. Yeah, absolutely. We're kind of in opposite form, sort of embracing that pulp culture, that European lifestyle. It is very different.
What do you miss about New York?
I miss, similar to you, I miss my friends and family. I miss... You know, I lived in Brooklyn my last year living in New York, and I loved that because you kind of had best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So funny enough, what I love about London is that you can be in the center, but then really quickly you can be in like a really quaint neighborhood
totally.
And have that villagey neighborhood feel.
Yes, you're bang on there.
Yeah.
You have a community spirit.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Whereas New York's very transitional.
Absolutely. We were in New York for 6 years and we thought that it was perfect for our 20s because it's such hustle and bustle.
Yeah, totally.
But we still love going back. We love seeing our friends, of course, and all of that.
It's the nail on the head. It's like strivers and survivors, New York City is all about. If you have a plan and an idea and you're willing to work really hard and you're good at what you do, you can do anything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you just answered that question. What do you love about life in NYC?
Yeah,
it sounds like your career and your jobs have just flourished there, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it is that can-do mentality. Everyone wants to bring you up. No one wants to pat you down. They're just like, we're going to help you. And if you're willing and you really work hard and you are ambitious and you're good at what you do, like I said, the world is your oyster there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so my sort of last question to tie this topic up, do you have any top tips for getting established in a new city for, say, someone who might do a similar move to you?
I mean, the creative world is, you know, you've just got to be willing to be, you know, go and work with people, intern on sets, just go and do work experience, like really just kind of figure out who the players are and attach yourself to someone who you can relate to, a mentor really. But then the basic stuff, like get yourself a doctor as soon as possible. Get someone who can recommend all the basics, like the basic doctor, the gyno, the bank, if you've got kids, like find yourself a mum friend ASAP.
Yeah.
Because that is your... There's so much noise out there and there's so many recommendations, but finding yourself a trusted mum friend or a trusted work friend or a trusted mentor is the key.
Yeah, absolutely. And it takes time.
Yeah, where am I going to go for the best money? Where am I going to go for the best wax?
Yeah.
Like those basic things as well, it's funny, will make you feel immediately home when you get them right.
Yeah. That's so true. And it's funny you mentioned gyno. I literally found one last week and
takes forever.
And he's so gentle and nice and lovely and it's a game changer when you find that, you know, it's right, a trusted doctor, a trusted person.
100% trusted hairdresser, that's always one. Because I was flying back to London for a long time until I found my amazing Sean Gallagher at John Frieda.
Yes, hairstylist and colorist are like would be my top reco.
Right.
Is like, you got to get that down. 100%. Everything else will fall into place.
Yeah. Once the hair is good, the day is good.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So I guess getting a bit more into your career, you've had an incredibly successful career. You've done so much. You've worn so many hats. I want to talk about your career start in television. Like, how did you get your initial start there?
I was fashion editor at Marie Claire, senior fashion editor, and I loved the idea of doing shoots, and it was great, and it was easy, and it was glamorous to make a fabulous model look wonderful on a glorious location. But there was something always missing for me in the fact that I wasn't giving much takeaway, as in tips, right? So I'm really always thinking about the consumer on the other end, or the reader then, rather than the consumer. And how can I help her? So I was one of the first people to go and see my editor at the time, and Joanna Coles, and she was amazing, and she just got it. And I was like, we need to shop this shoot. Like, it's great, but no one can afford this. Let's do a page after the shoot and let's break it down, like buy the look for under 100. Obviously, that was the first of its kind then. Now they're everywhere. And I was also one person who said, let's do real people. Let's shoot like influencers before there were influencers, really, in magazines, who have really interesting jobs and stories and backgrounds, but wear fashion in a real way. So we started doing a lot of that. And then that naturally translated to a segment on a TV show, right? So you've got real women, real sizes, real price points. And that's the kind of stuff that really resonates on a Today Show segment, or a GMA, or a Rachel Ray show. Sure. So I just managed, I started pitching like just fun ideas, and I'd start doing, apparently I was okay on camera, and they were like, oh, keep coming back and doing these like under 100 or one piece five ways. It's like age old editorial ideas that I've been doing for all of my career,
yeah,
but translated it onto TV, and it was very, very useful for the audience.
Yeah. And okay on camera. I mean, you've done amazing on camera. It's like you have so much confidence, and like, oh, I can see that now. And then when I see you on E! News and like the red carpet and stuff, has that just been really natural for you?
I'm always very, I plan and I research and I do my homework.
Sure.
I would love to say being on camera is totally fine as long as I know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
If I'm not prepared, I can shut down. And then, so that's my biggest tip to anyone wanting to do that. If you know your stuff, then you can say it with love and personality and passion. If you don't know your stuff, then you're too busy trying to think of the words, so all the personality is dragged out of it.
That's so true. That's such a good tip.
Right. It's like an actress once said to me, she's like, I said, how do you learn all the scripts? Because sometimes I have got a lot of stuff to remember. And she said that it wasn't, she said that learning the words is not the hard part. It's learning to say it with the personality and giving it myself. And that to me always struck me as, oh, that's really good advice. Like, know your stuff and then deliver it. It's the delivery that's the hard part.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, I feel like preparation in anything is so key, but then that element of like being recorded and on a camera, yeah, and you want to show your personality adds this like other layer.
Totally.
So yeah, you gotta do the homework.
You do. But it's funny, I'd rather be on camera on live TV to 6 million people who I can't see than in a room full of people I know well
on
presenting
like a live
to them.
Stage.
Yeah. That oh my gosh. Or in a smaller room, like just in a presentation, yeah, with 20 people,
yeah,
that I know, that's much more petrifying to me. And that's kind of like, even when we pitching Milk Makeup and all that stuff, it was so dear to me and so precious, and I was with a lot of people who we all rely upon each other. So that I'm more nervous in those situations than TV. Does not bother me at all.
Yeah.
It's funny.
And you're probably so used to it by now too. So you've been doing it for such a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's our lunch just being delivered. Thank you. No, it's fine. It's great. I'm very hungry. I'm just laughing about how jet lag makes you really hungry and obviously sleepless.
Yeah, absolutely. We're in Dean Street townhouse. It's gorgeous. But little.
And here comes a very handsome man with some food and tea on demand. Oh, look at this. How do you take your tea? Have you turned into a Brit yet with the tea?
So, can I tell you, I've always loved an English breakfast tea.
Mm-hmm.
And I take it sweet, almost like a dessert, not like overly, but I like milk, like full fat. Like I don't,
yep,
I'm not grabbing the almond milk, like full fat milk, sugar.
Yep.
So I have converted, but I still love my coffee. So like in the afternoon, I'll usually do a tea. I'll do like a coffee in the morning. So I kind
got
of,
it.
I like have the best of both worlds, I guess.
Yeah, I'm the same.
How do you take your tea as a Brit?
I only just started to like tea. Isn't that crazy?
And really?
Yeah, because I was like, gosh, I can't drink any more coffee at 3 p.m. I have to have an alternative. And I have it super sweet,
okay,
with actually half and half in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a dessert, like you said.
I mean, I will say you guys make the best cup of tea. Like we, like back at home in the States, it's always bitter. You have like the Lipton tea bag.
Right.
It's just not.
It's PG tips.
Yeah, no, you guys have something down. Okay, so getting back into a few more career-related questions.
Sure.
Would you say, has there been one role in particular that's been sort of invaluable to getting to where you are today, being now that, you know, you've done so much, you're a founder of this amazing makeup company?
Mm-hmm. It's the culmination of all the different roles. So being a beauty editor and understanding product, understanding what's out there, understanding marketing, understanding creative. That and then combined with being on set all the time and working with the best people in the industry, then combined with being on television and having to impart information in an easy, digestible way to a mass audience. I think it's all of those different worlds combined that then lead to, it's almost like the Holy Grail. It's exactly what I would have wanted all of that experience to culminate in.
Yeah, I love that. And you've obviously, you learn from the best. Like you learn from all these experts.
Best
and
it's, access in the world.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So kind of transitioning a little bit, I know you're married with twin girls.
Oh, yeah.
They're so cute. I've seen them on your Instagram. Like, how do you juggle it all? Do you have any like tips you could pass on to like women who are as you are, like wearing so many hats and doing everything?
Great team around you. It's a funny question and it's the one I get asked a lot. And mm-hmm. I do think the idea of balance is a fallacy. I don't think that you will ever be a perfectly imbalanced. If I'm here, I'm in London, I'm here for 3 days, I'm away from my kids. I love the work I'm doing, but I feel guilty for not being with my kids. Mm-hmm. If I'm at home with my kids on, say, a Friday afternoon, I'm like, what could I be doing? What am I not doing? Should I have taken that meeting? It's constant. And I haven't figured it out yet. I'm trying to be relaxed in both environments and just be present in where I am. And you hear it so much. It's like, just be present. Just be in the moment. Like, yeah, it's great in theory. I'm still trying to figure it all out, though.
Yeah.
And also, you know, like, my husband, like, he... It's funny. I think guys rarely get asked the question, how do they juggle it all?
Such a good point.
Right? They just don't. And it's like, well, he should get asked it more because between the two of us, it's literally like throwing it back and forward. And that's mm-hmm. the balls just going backwards and forwards. But without my partner who I can throw things back to, I would have dropped all those balls and be slipping all over the place.
Yeah. No, I completely get that. What does like a typical sort of like a week look like for you guys?
Oh, God, I'm so nuts. He's in Vegas right now. I'm in London right now. I get back. He was in Korea last week. I was in Morocco the week before. I mean, there's never not a suitcase unpacked in our bedroom. Fact. Which is kind of depressing in a way. But then it's not because it's exciting and I love taking a trip more than anyone. But a typical day, I mean, a regular Monday, say, so I'll always have, we always have managers meetings. So that's the co-founders, myself, Georgie Greville, who's an amazing creative director, my dear friend, Diana Ruth, again, my partner who creates all these amazing products, and Rossi, and then the extended team. We meet every Monday morning and have a good 2 hour. Like, what's going on? This is your moment. This is when we chat.
Sure.
Then from there, I can bounce off and do an E! News segment. So I'll bounce up to Rockefeller Center on 50th and film something from, you know, the fantastic Rockefeller Center for E! Mm-hmm. Then I can be, after that, I can maybe have to meet with makeup artists, hairdressers, and I often have conference calls with my other clients because I still work with people like Target and I style all their campaigns. So, it could be planning and prep for that. Then, you know, I can have a dinner or drinks with my dear friend Drew Barrymore I had the other night and it was so much fun. We did a panel together and then we went out after together. So it's so diverse and I have to change hats and mentality a lot from like, okay, now I'm on makeup, now I'm on TV stuff, now I'm on influencer friends organizing a shoot, now I'm on stylist mode, now I'm on editor mode. But they all play into each other, so I can't let myself like compartmentalize too much.
Sure, sure. And it sounds like, again, that like preparation piece is like important for you as far as like,
yeah, you're
probably
right.
Like a top tip, it sounds like.
Yeah, prep. Know where you're going into because nothing worse than being caught blindsided. Yeah. You're like, what? Oh,
yeah. Do you ever have downtime? Like, do you ever have time to yourself?
Not really. That's something I think if you make the deal with yourself, right? I want to do all this. What's more important right now, doing all this and having time with my kids, is the downtime.
Right.
I think I'll relax when they're 18.
Sure, kind sure. Of my
planes. So planes. But it's funny. People say, well, watch a movie on a plane. And I look at them like, I am so jealous of you watching a movie on a plane. Because I have a list in my phone. I can even pull it up.
Mm-hmm.
Plane. and it's like organizing, it's getting ahead of the game with it's basically like office time to me on a plane. It's,
yeah, like
you're
a mini
so much,
to-do
you can't
list.
Waste a whole day.
Sure.
Just, you know, watching movies and downtime. Or I fly a lot now, red eyes, because I want to get back for the kids.
Sure. And then
I don't want to waste a day.
Yeah, sure. And then at least maybe you can sleep, and that's important.
Exactly. Sort of yeah, 5 hours is better than nothing.
5 hours sleeping on a plane.
Bargain.
So I want to talk about Milk Makeup.
Yes, please.
So you founded this with your husband. So how did this all kind of come about for you?
There's four co-founders, myself, Rossi, my husband, who founded Milk Studios. So Milk Studios founded 23 years ago in the meatpacking. It's become this melting pot of creatives, of culture. We have music, we have a jam room, we have a gallery for photography exhibitions, we have the studios upstairs, which is just, you know, every celebrity, every musician, every artist. It's just like incredible people all day long just walking by you. Then there's Georgie Gravel, who is also a co-founder. She's a creative director. She's a director by profession, and she used to be at MTV, and she's so attuned with the music, with what's cool. She's an OG Milk girl as well. She's like she sees trends before anyone else. She's an early adopter. And then Diana Ruth, who is our COO, but also the product wizard, who creates these amazing products and turns nuts ideas into tangible things. And between the four of us, none of us come from the same world. So I think it really made sense when we launched Mill Makeup that we did all come from such diverse moments, but collaborating together made this very unique brand that found this white space. And when we took it to Sephora, we didn't even have a product. We just had all these ideas and a great sizzle that Georgie put together. And, you know, and really and a lot of passion and knowledge about the industry from a place that they weren't used to hearing it from.
Sure.
And they were just like 20 minutes into the meeting, like, if you can build this, we're in.
Yeah.
So we did.
I love that. And it makes a lot of sense too. Just everyone's kind of having a different take, but such a strong background.
Yes.
In what they do.
Four partners, very yeah. different backgrounds, orbiting the same world, but from very different angles. It created, as I said, this unique, innovative line that filled a huge gap that people didn't even realize was missing.
Sure.
So it's, people say that to me, it's the line you needed, but you never knew you needed. And it's like, okay, that's a great compliment.
Yeah. And how's it been working alongside your husband? I imagine it must actually work for you guys because you have so much going on.
It does. Look, at first, there's definitely the first couple of years before we even launched and the lead up to that. It was very stressful. It was very demanding. We made a rule and a pact with each other that we wouldn't talk about business when we were with the kids or in personal time. So we'd be meetings. We'd have meetings. We'd literally go to the... walk out the door, get in a cab together, it'd be like kids, planning, logistics, functionality of the home, and then we'd get to the office and go into a meeting, and then you turn into work mode. But you have to have those barriers, and you have to have, you know, divisions. Otherwise, it gets muddy, it gets messy, it's going to turn into arguments, and that's obviously not what anyone wants.
I can completely see that. So what are your favorite Milk makeup products?
So many.
So
my favorite when is this coming out?
So probably closer to the end of June.
Okay, so I can't tell you about something that's coming out in August, but check back because we will have information on it then. August the 9th, everyone, mark your calendars.
Yes. My
favorites are, without doubt, Die Hard Kush Mascara. Kush Mascara is our number one bestseller in the US for good reason, because it's a mascara that contains hemp-derived cannabis oil. You are wearing it.
I know, you
love it. It looks
Could you tell
so,
if you didn't cut into
it? You know, it doesn't get brittle and it doesn't flake off. But it comes off really easy at the end of the day thanks to the cannabis in it. It's the hemp-derived cannabis oil, which gives it this very conditioning formula. It's heart-shaped fibers, which really bulk the lashes up as opposed to straight fibers, which make a lash look spiky. It's a really beautiful, weighty silver tube and a component that is just synonymous now with us. And it's selling out. And we've just launched a waterproof version and a primer in the Kush family. And Kush, we use that because we couldn't use beeswax as a binding agent because we're a vegan brand.
Yep.
So the whole premise behind Milk Makeup being vegan, 100% cruelty-free, none of the bad stuff, none of the dimethicones, silicones, parabens, you will never find those in Milk Makeup.
Yeah, That's the biggest thing I noticed between that Kush and other mascaras. It's super volumizing. You can tell right away. It's dramatic in the best lashes. Way.
Yeah. All the puns intended with the cannabis connotations as well. We launched on 420. We had a marijuana themed party. We had a hemp house party here in London not so long ago.
Yeah.
All the puns.
All the puns. I love it. Okay. So what's your everyday beauty routine? Are you more minimal? I mean, I can see now you're not wearing like minimalist. Is that like sort of your go-to?
Complete minimalist. Yeah. And that's a lot of the makeup is around like that minimal, easy to use, on the go. I have -3 minutes in the morning literally to do my makeup. I actually started doing makeup in the car and I would shoot it on my phone because I was using it in a mirror and I started recording it. And then I was like Xana Quick Tricks and it was all about commuter beauty and both became hashtags that, I mean, initially I'd had millions of views on one video of getting off a plane to a car to a meeting. So for me, and it was very genuine and very real, and it was my entire face in 5 minutes in the back of a car. So I use Flex Concealer as a foundation, and obviously on the eye bags and under the nose and on the chin. I'll use our eye gel pencil, which is not the Kush brow gel. I use the OG, like original pencil, which is fantastic because I overplucked my brows in the 90s, as a lot of us did. And then I will die hard bronzer, matte bronzer in Baked. I will pop that on. It melts into the skin and just gives you that instant glow. Yep. 10 second tan, I call it. And then highlighter in Lit, just over the top, cheekbones, eyelids, top of lip. That would be my basic, very basic face. And then I'd add on maybe a work, lip and cheek. Work is W-E-R-K. You pop that on the cheeks and it really lifts the face like you would not believe.
I love that one. I'm wearing out my lips right now.
Oh, it looks so good on you. I mean, you're so beautiful. Oh my. I hope everyone who's watching this Googles a picture of it because she's stunning.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Okay, so do you have a best makeup tip for a night out?
Night out. I mean, I'm a big player up of the eyes. I'm a big take and black eyeliner. We have our gel eyeliners and just smear it all around the eye. I lift the lid up and I do it under the lash line in the upper waterline. I do it in the lower waterline. I take the smudgy end of it and just mess it up because I love that kind of lived in, rocked out kind of
absolutely
look. Yeah, and I'm then just you. Layer on the mascara. That's the quickest way to get you instant impactful eyes.
Yeah, that's so true. And quick and easy.
And quick and easy.
Because no one has time for that.
Negative. If you want to get an eyeliner perfect, you definitely lean your elbow on a steady surface.
Oh,
it's such a simple thing. You're like, of course, if that's steady, I'm going to be steady. But so few people do it. And I'm doing it in a car and I'm like flying around. But yeah, just use something sturdy, stable, and you will be stable.
Great tip. I've literally never done that because you just like go to the mirror and you're just like wobbling around and... Yeah, shaky and
hold it, put it on a table like a makeup artist would, balance on the face, makes it so much better.
I love that. Okay, so you have impeccable personal style. You've been a stylist previously. Has your style changed since you've been in New York?
Probably got a little bit more refined. I was much more experimental, I'd say, when I was in. But I was still figuring it out. I was 24, you know, and I think those are the years you're still figuring your personal style out. I definitely figured mine out more so around 30.
Sure.
And it's that kind of like definitely always a tomboy edge, masculine. It's matured a bit now probably. So I'm much more like tomboy. I'd say masculine chic as opposed to when I used to be like tomboy fun. And now kind of like, I'm growing up a little bit. I love our oversized men's blazer. I love a men's pant. I love wearing everything with sneakers as you are today, as I am. I don't think it's an age thing. I just think it's a refinement thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. And I feel like I lived in Brooklyn for that 1 year. And even then, I feel like I was dressing more grungy. Mm-hmm. Now I'm in London. Now I'm like wearing blazers, dresses. Yeah. And so it's just so funny how you also really can dress for your environment too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're so right.
Okay. Last style question and last question in general, what are some quick tips for looking pulled together and chic, like very fast?
Well, I think you just nailed one actually, blazer. Okay. A blazer or an overcoat is a quick way to looking super chic and like a boss in seconds. Like if you've got the worst pair of jeans on and even a sneaker, mm-hmm. imagine putting just a crisp white t-shirt and a blazer over that.
Yes.
You're done. Make sure it's a little bit oversized. We're seeing a lot more of that right now. Yep. It shouldn't be fitted. No tapered waist, unless it's a tapered waist with a giant 80s shoulder. We're seeing a lot of the bigger shoulder yes. coming back. Like the shoulders, like literally, they're just bashing people out of the way. Shoulders yes. are so yeah. big these days, but that's cool. I wore an awesome one yesterday actually by Victoria Beckham.
Oh my God, her stuff is amazing.
She is my style icon, I think. Yeah. It's funny how yeah. I've gone from all these different people and now I look at her and she manages to balance elegance, chic, and cool all in one perfect package.
Yeah, I don't know how. I literally don't know how she does it. And she like, well, she wears pretty much like two colors.
Yeah, she's simple, but it's not simple. If you look at the details on the things she wears, yeah. like the pant is the perfect width, it's the perfect length with the sneaker that she's wearing. The white t-shirt is so crisp with the wide shoulder.
Yes.
The shoulder on the blazer is just the right amount, you know, extended from the body. She is meticulous, and it's those details that it's a great style tip to note details.
Yeah,
and fit.
Agree. I do agree. I feel like it's all in the details.
Agreed.
So. Good. Oh, this was so fun.
Thank you so much. Okay, well, what's your one skin tip? Because I'm staring at your face okay. and your skin is glowing.
Oh my gosh. Okay, my one skin tip. Invest in a really great serum for nighttime or sleep mask. If you can do both, mm-hmm. I would do both. But I feel like in the last couple of years since I moved to London,
yeah.
just focused a little bit more on my like nighttime skin routine.
Got it.
I just feel like it makes the... all the difference.
Which skin mask do you like?
So I just was telling you guys about that serum. Dr. Dennis Gross Needleless mm-hmm. Hyaluronic Acid Serum. I use that at nighttime. And then my facialist turned me on to Allies of Skin. Mm-hmm. They have a sleep mask.
Ooh.
So if you have, I think it's actually great for all skin types because I use it and I have very sensitive skin. So that's been a great one too.
Amazing. I'm going to get you one of our watermelon serums as well. That's a yes. really good night one. Just pop it on.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And it's got actually watermelon in it and that it's so rehydrating and smoothing for the skin as well.
Okay, amazing. I can't wait to try it. And all your products are great too because they're in the stick form yep. and it's like easy application, right? Everything's like with your fingers.
Fingers, no tools. And all the components actually feature the tool within it. So you've got a stick, it's already there. You know, you have a rollerball pen, it's already in there. We didn't want to add any more fuss to women's beauty routines.
Sure.
We have enough things going on as it is. So we wanted to streamline that.
Yeah.
You absolutely can, of course, use any of the products with brushes or professional tools. But the premise of it is that it's utilitarian in look, in feel, and in use.
Yeah, I love that. Let's keep it simple.
Exactly.
Before you go, where can everybody find you on Instagram? And then for Milk, give your spiel.
At Milk Makeup, we are available in the UK at Cult Beauty, who are incredible partners and they really do have the best offering of beauty out there. And we love them. Thank you, Alexa, for all your love and support in launching in the UK. And myself personally at Zana Rossi.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on. This was so much fun.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks everybody for listening. If you could subscribe, rate, and review, that would be amazing. And thanks. We'll see you next time.